Harper Audio presents Reckless by Andrew Gross, performed by Christian Hoff. Prologue. London.
Beep, 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 beep.
Amir, Marty Al-Bashir's 6-year-old son, raced his motorized Formula One model around the dining room table, almost crashing it into Anna, the Lebanese housemaid, as she brought out their Sunday lunch of flatbread and spiced lamb.
Amir, watch out.
His mom, Shira, yelled.
You'll run Anna over. Marty, is it not possible for you to tell your son to stop?
Amir, listen to your mother,
Marty called from the den, distracted. He and his older son, Ghassan, they called him Gary, were crouched in front of the widescreen TV in the midst of a crucial football match. Manchester United versus Chelsea. The match was scoreless with only seconds remaining in the first half. And Man U was his son's favorite team. They had just acquired Antonio Valencia, his favorite winger and the hottest foot in the game.
Oh no, look!
Gary shouted as Marty focused back on the screen. A Chelsea attacker had curled a 30-meter beauty just inside the left post, an inch beyond the Manchester goalie's outstretched dive.
Damn! Now look what you made me miss, Shira.
Marty groaned, deflated.
A goal. A goal? Big deal. Your son is driving that thing around the house like Jensen Button. Amir, listen.
Shira's voice grew firm.
If you don't stop this instant, you can forget about going to Universal Studios when we are in L.A. Do you hear?
As if on autopilot, the model race car came to a stop. From the floor, Amir caught his father's amused gaze and grinned sheepishly.
Yes, I hear, Mama.
Come on, boys. Your mom's gone into a lot of trouble for us. Let's eat.
Marty rose and the family drew chairs around the sleek Van der Rohe table in the stylishly decorated townhouse. Outside, the view from the wide third-floor window of their fashionable Mayfair Georgian was over Hyde Park, among the most desirable views in town. The home cost close to £6 million, but as the chief investment officer of the Royal Saudi Partnership, a sovereign fund of Marty's native Saudi Arabia, it was hardly more than a rounding error on the daily tallies of one of the largest troves of investment capital in the world. Marty, which Al-Bashir had been called for years, was simply an Americanized form of Mashur, his birth name, given to him in his undergraduate days when he had studied under Whiting and McComb at the University of Chicago, and followed up with stints in portfolio strategy at Goldman and Reynolds Reed, and in private equity at Blackstone in New York. It was only back home in his native country that Marty was called anything else. Now he oversaw a giant fund with interests that stretched to every point on the globe and every conceivable type of asset. Stocks, mezzanine capital, currencies, CDOs, complex derivatives. They also had vast real estate holdings in New York's Rockefeller Center and London's own Trafalgar Square. When the price of oil rocketed, they bought up ethanol-producing sugarcane fields in Brazil. When the commodity fell, they bought up offshore U.S. development leases and massive tankers. Royal Saudi's holdings were more than $1 trillion. Their hands were in everything. In times of crisis, they had even been called on to prop up many national treasuries around the world. He and Shira had met in the U.S. while he was at Reynolds, and she, a daughter of a prominent law professor from Beirut, was studying economics at Columbia. They had been married for 12 years. The job had given him ease, most would say luxury, and over time they had acquired many Western ways. They had a flat on the Côte d'Azur, a penthouse in the Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue in New York. They took the family skiing at Gstaad and Aspen. Gary and Amir were enrolled in the finest schools. His only regret was that, to appease the royal family's wishes, his wife had had to give up her own career to raise her family. Sometimes he wished that despite his rise to the top of the financial world and the important responsibilities that had been bestowed on him, if she could handle the investments and he could manage the kids, both their home and the Saudi royal portfolio would be in better hands. Sunday was their traditional family meal. Afterward, they might head a few blocks away to Hyde Park and kick the football around a bit. On the way back, they might stroll along Shepherd Market, window shopping the fine antiques and new fashions. These days, with teleconferencing and the financial network set up here, he jetted home barely twice a year, mostly to see his folks. He had been away from Riyadh for so many years, distanced himself from their customs, that Marty pretty much thought of the royals as clients now, rather than brethren. And he knew because of the results he produced, his overseers looked the other way.